Four
Four
inches isn't a mic that's big enough for Betty Dotson.
inches is good enough. Yeah,
It's good
absolutely.
enough. If it's 4 inches erect, it'd
I
be
can
four.
always lean in. I love
So
mics.
I have to admit, I was a little
Oh my God,
jealous.
she just licked the mic.
Oh no, put her in restraints. Now, I am 4 days early for my interview. I have you all know that I showed up. I was supposed to be here Thursday. It's Monday. But I was so excited, especially after I like Wikipedia'd you and I did all this research and I found all this great stuff. And I'm a little jealous of you because you know when they
Are you
just.
recording?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
I
You're
am.
jealous of me?
I am jealous because when I was doing research and. You know, they always say Betty Dotson is, and they give you like words, you know, and
I
so
should
they.
go and look. I don't do that.
Okay, this is what they said about me. They said activist first, which I thought was great. Author, so you're the author, you're an artist. And then they said the word, my aspiration, they said iconoclast. And I'm like, oh my God, like they gave her like the ultimate label, like I want, like you're smashing traditions.
Iconoclast, which is an icon that has clasted.
It's an iconic person and who challenges traditional beliefs and notions within a culture and is like the person to kind of point the finger and say, look, the emperor has no clothes on.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it
I mean,
amazing?
a cowgirl from Wichita don't know them fancy words. Isn't that wonderful? Iconoclast.
I was so jealous and I was like, okay, like, don't get too crazy. You're 30, and she's like, you know, been in the game a while.
78 in August.
Oh my God, you look
Yeah,
amazing.
this is you're talking to your grandmother here.
So you saw it all. I mean, you saw the birth of feminism in this
I saw the
country.
birth of feminism. I saw the before that, the sexual revolution, which you guys should really know more about. And I swear they suppress the information
So
all
what
the
was it like? I mean, give us, because I've always.
I actually have a memoir that I wrote about the sexual revolution. And I cannot get it published. And if I had another minute in a day or in 3 days in a row, I'd probably do it myself and
You
get it
could
out there.
self-publish it on
I
iTunes.
self-published the first time.
Really?
Yeah, when I did Liberating Masturbation, you could imagine how enthusiastic the publishing companies were when I shopped around my. I want to do a book about masturbation. I want to call it Liberating Masturbation, and they went. Oh, yeah. Well, you could have a chapter in a book about it, but you can't do a whole book about it. And I said, why not? Because I was convinced at that point, and even more convinced today, that that is the primary sexual outlet most of us are relying on.
Of course, and throughout our lives. I mean, think of it,
Yeah.
partners come and go.
Like I said.
I have a quote,
Ooh.
and I decided that I would throw quotes back at Betty because I couldn't frame questions that were any better. This is what you said, masturbation is our first and natural form of sexual activity, and if that's inhibited or damaged, then we suffer for the rest of our lives.
True, absolutely
And I think
true.
that's been your mantra.
Yes. Masturbation is an ongoing love affair that each of us has with ourselves throughout our lifetime. See, I threw another quote back to you. I can't believe I remembered that. The only thing I have complaints about, as you know, with the aging process, well, I mean, I could think of more than one, but is the if I could get a computer chip for my brain
To download some of it and
to
store it.
store more and to access it more quickly. Because if you ask me something and I'm trying to remember something, I sometimes say, give me a moment, I'm going into the hard drive. And I literally will have to sit and close my eyes and totally relax and just, sure enough, it'll come back. But there's several moments there. And in this day and age, several moments, you could
Forget
lose an
it.
entire
This is
country.
the MTV generation. Our attention spans are like 30 seconds.
So, darling, you're 30. I am finally reaching the 30s, the 30s group, and women and the kids in their 20s. I'm just getting this.
Well, you know why? I think I think feminism took a wrong turn, and when I also did research and they called you a pro-sex feminist, and I related to that because even in the little enclave of people my age, the Julia Allisons, the Jessica Valentes, who had like their feminist websites, won't associate with me because my focus is sex and relationships. Because I think to be in this day and age and women not to understand their bodies
Ugh.
and what their pussies are and how to make themselves orgasm and that they want an orgasm like a man in 2 minutes and that they don't and they fake it. All this stuff, I think, keeps us from our divinity. They will not touch me with a 10-foot pole. I do think that the younger women, like the, it started in my generation, but I look at women in their 20s and I think they're kind of like, you know what, screw that. You know what I mean? I have my own cash. By 2019, 2/3 of America's wealthy are going to be women. So I think women, money, I think economic independence brings on a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think the younger generations of women are kind of like, yeah, I do this and I have my own cash and I have my own job. And why wouldn't I pick up a vibrator? And why do I have to feel guilty about that? And I don't have time necessarily to wait for my relationship to bring me that orgasm.
Oh, please. And you get the relationship and it still doesn't guarantee your orgasm. And if you do get your orgasm when you get the relationship, it doesn't stay there consistently. And we're crazy if we think that every orgasm we want while we're on the planet is going to be the gift of someone else. I mean, talk about victimhood.
Yeah. Ugh. And that was another quote I had. You were talking about women and where is it? Okay. Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. That's the condition of the female. Women have been conditioned to sacrifice for centuries.
Yes, for our husbands, for our children. For everything, you know. Well, that's been, it is true.
That we can't even say, like, I demand pleasure. Like, I demand to come. With you or without you.
I demand orgasm. Well, you know, you can demand something all you want, but my approach is, you know, just do it. Do it for yourself.
And, I love your book, Sex for One. A million copies have been sold. And your reply when I said that while I was setting up my equipment was, it took 10 years.
Yeah, it took over 10 years for it to critical mass. And it started off very slowly. It kind of had a rush at first. And then, and I don't know what, the publisher thought that it was, they bought it in 86. They put it in the marketplace in 87. They thought because of the AIDS epidemic.
People would be masturbating more.
That they would embrace it more heartily. Oh, no. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with America other than religion and the Republicans.
Our Puritan heritage. Well, at least Jerry Falwell finally died. And I know that sounds really mean, but I was so happy. I did a jig.
Oh,
I was
absolutely.
Like, finally, he is dead.
I was doing an interview with some college students on the phone, and they said, how do you feel about, what's her name, the big gal that went to the beyond?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I know. See, here I go. Excuse me a moment while I go into the hard drive. If you want to talk about something else, I'll be with you in a moment.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Anyway, her. She was really a radical, I mean, not radical, a rabid, just whipping up the crowd with anti-sex things, you know, that... all about rape and brutality.
Well, that's almost like, the feminist said every act of sex is an act of rape. Remember that? That was like the Andrea Dworkin and Catherine McKinnon.
That's the name.
Andrea Dworkin, and you'd see them on like Donahue, and they were like spouting
all...
They
loved them. Yes.
How did they get so much play? And then they were the reason why the Mies Commission came out with a report saying that adult pornography and adult imagery...
Okay, that's the history. So on this little conversation I was having with the students in this college... When they said, how do you feel about Andrea Dworkin passing on? And I spontaneously went into, ding dong, the witch is dead, the awful old witch is dead. And then I heard the whole classroom go, and I thought, what am I supposed to say? Oh, I'm so sorry, she will be missed. Fuck no.
She's not going to be missed.
Oh, I mean, anytime one of these bad apples, leaves the planet, I say, dance your jig, smoke a joint. You know, have a drink, celebrate.
Like, grab your vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Have an orgasm.
It was so sad for, I think, our country, because now, like, they're doing the abstinence only, and these kids don't...
Tragic.
I mean, it's so tragic what they do to people, because you have to have sex. That's why we're here. Like,
well,
you have to...
Here's the thing. We don't. That's the problem. I mean, and all you have to do to look at...
Well, sexual gratification, I should say.
Yeah, well, pleasure is that's the word. Because if a person is experiencing pleasure, the chances are pretty good that they're going to be an individual, that they probably are going to be thinking more for themselves. They're in touch with their body, and I don't think there's a separation between our body and our mind. Mm. So if you're more in touch with your body, you have better access to your mind, and you cannot be as easily manipulated. So the powers that be, let's say right now that would be any government that wants to have a control over the people, any religion that wants to have a control over, like the Catholic Church would be a perfect example. The Republicans right now in this country are a very good example. The Bush administration is the ideal example, and this is all about fascism. Controlling people that have lost their centers. And the first way you get a person to lose their center is to take sexual pleasure from them.
You just kind of connected the dots for me, because I've been watching what's going on in Iran, because Iran's been one of the most progressive Middle East countries. And I don't know, there was a big scandal because there was this famous Iranian actress made a sex tape with her boyfriend. The boyfriend leaked it, and they arrested them. And the regime, I said, I made a post on my site about it on the board, because I said, you know, I think the president of Iran has taken a note card from GW, you know, the Bush administration's kind of, you know, game book. Because what they're doing is they're cracking down on sexuality. Women that don't wear the proper burqa are being arrested. They should just wear like little Hermes scarves.
Control.
Then now I read something that they're going to make it that if you produce pornography or adult image or you take part in it, that they can execute you, kill you, like the death penalty.
Ultimate control.
Now this woman isn't a porn star. She's an actress, and she made a film with her boyfriend. But they're going to say that's going to come down as being pornographic, and they're going to execute this woman. And I thought, wow, oh my God, they're following suit. It's the same thing.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, will people rebel over this because she's a beloved actor, or will they just, you know, they're already so repressed that they can't get it up to complain? I mean, look at how we acquiesce. Here in America.
Oh, look at our press and our media. Can you say there's a liberal media anymore?
Honey, you're on it. You're creating it. My website, you know, YouTube.
You know, your website is BettyDodson.com.
BettyDodson.com.
Now that's BettyDodson.com. And I loved you had a lot of really great sex, like Betty Dodson approved sex products. So for you ladies, and of course, you know, I'm here and she's got this beautiful mantelpiece filled with all her glass sex toys.
Well, these are the dildos. Actually, what I like about that collection is most of them have been gifts.
Oh.
But of course, I've fucked all of them. You know, every one of them. Not the one in the middle, because that's an award. That's not meant.
I thought that the Hitachi magic wand in glass. I was like, I don't think that works. I think that's an award.
Yeah, it has a square end.
But I see the Hitachi magic wand is laying on your little couch/bed area.
It's always next to me.
And why is that your favorite? Because I think a lot of women don't know what to buy. So for you to come out and say the Hitachi's my favorite.
Well, and I don't get reimbursed. I haven't been paid for my endorsement of this vibrator. But it's like, you know, I did the same thing back in the 60s and 70s. Once you found a really good lover, you didn't want to possess him. You wanted to share him with your girlfriends. And so I would pass him around to him. I'd say, oh, you've got it. Here's his phone number. Give him a call. You are going to love having sex with this kid or this man or this whatever. And it was such a more friendly, open. But now, today, since I have this young apprentice. Now, Eric started off, we started off as romantic lovers.
Oh, really?
Because I was 69 at the time, which is a great number. And
I would say, how was 69?
I don't like 69. As the sex act, utterly.
Yeah, no, and most people don't, because it's like you can't focus on.
It's too confusing. I want to take turns. I don't know if you're doing something because you think I like it, or I'm doing something because I think you like it, but neither one of us are actually liking it.
They do it in adult films. That's why they do it.
So anyway, but it was right before the millennium, right before that we were going to go into the 2000, and I was terrified that everything was going to crash. We're all
the Y2K, you thought.
I bought the Y2K fear. We had stuff up on those top shelves in the kitchens, you know, like it would matter if you had food for 5 days, if the computers, this city would be pandemonium. I mean, just get out your sex toys and figure on having a good time, because your days are numbered,
baby. Yeah, absolutely.
So I go through all this crap, and Eric shows up about that time, and we start having fabulous sex, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to fuck my way through the new millennium, and and enjoy every minute and let the world come to an end. I could care less.
That's how I want to go out. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I did. And then I was hooked. I thought, oh, I want to keep doing this. And I didn't even plan on having another meaningful relationship at that age.
I was liberated.
I was free from partner sex and, you know, and getting dependent. And, oh, so this is now we're going into our ninth year. So the last year we had, I created a transition because I know this is going to break a lot of hearts, but I got to tell you, sex in the beginning is fabulous.
Sex in the end.
You know, it's like,
it's the length of the relationship. It's not who, you know what I mean?
It is really, we have to factor this in. And you've got all these books coming out, Hot Monogamy.
There's no such thing as Hot Monogamy.
Passionate Marriage. I mean, kiss my clip. It doesn't happen. We got to be honest about sex.
Because it's all the dopamine. And when you first meet someone, your dopamine's like pinned and you're like, oh. And then after a while, it's like you have to force yourself. You're like,
well, happens is I mapped it because I was wise this time around. I've done this a lot. And I will be honest, I'm going to do it one more time. I haven't met the person I'm going to do it with yet. But I decided that I want to have a hot romantic affair to kick off my 80s.
Ooh.
Why not?
Well, this leads me to another quote.
Oh, good.
I consider the 70s to be the youth of old age.
Yay!
So all you women out there who are afraid of getting older, just keep your orgasms in place, eat a lot of vegetables, take exercise, and you'll be fine. And I think that's such a great message because so many women think, like, once you're out of your 30s, you're untouchable.
Yep, it's over.
Now, your Eric, your little assistant that I saw, is much younger.
Oh, he's 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, to pick up where we left off, that, you know, a year ago, maybe it was a little over a year ago, I knew that we had to make a transition. First of all, we never were monogamous. I mean,
so you had an open relationship.
Always. Because, you know, somebody as older as to be my age and to own or think you can possess some young person is insanity.
Yeah.
And he wants to be and will be a fine sex educator. So he needs experience, and I support that. So it was never a question of being monogamous. So what I said to him a little over a year ago was, this has nothing to do with you personally, darling. I love and adore you. You're a treasure, and I really appreciate having you in my life. But I want to cool out partner sex for a while. So I could sort of get back to myself, because once you start having really good partner sex, you kind of let masturbation drop off.
Yes, that's true. You don't do it as much.
And I hadn't done it in ages. And I thought, oh, well, and as you get older, you have less of a sex drive. Sorry, that's another little truth I dropped on you. But if you love it when it happens, it's just that you don't have the same kind of urgency or, you know, I've got to do it every day or I've got to do it.
You're not thinking it the same way.
It's different. So he said, fine, you know, and I said, and that doesn't mean we can't occasionally, you know.
If we decide.
Have a roll in the hay, darling. But we needed that separation. And sure enough, it worked. He started dating other women. Now I see what is happening in New York in the poly, I don't know how else to call it, the poly community or the people that have open relationships where they date other people.
And you see that a lot in the cities. In New York, I see it a lot. Everyone has an open relationship.
Nearly everyone in New York is doing this?
I think so. I see a lot of people that they're like, oh, we have an open relationship. I was at a business meeting the other day, and someone's like, oh, my wife loves your site. Oh, by the way, we have an open relationship, and we're planning this big trip to Mexico, and we're bringing all of these couples. And I was like, wow. Like, I don't know, it's because now that I'm, like, in the sex industry, everyone's opening up to me.
Yes, now you'll find out what's available. But I love this.
You should know your neighbors are all, like, swinging around having a good time. Yep. I mean, they really are.
Well, I see, because I talk about this, I'm planning, I'm working on my end game.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, come on.
I know, what's the, okay.
And people say, oh, that's so sad. No, it isn't. I'm realistic. You know, in August at 78, and they all say, women say, Betty, you don't have to tell your age. You don't look that old. And I thought, hell yes, I got to tell my age.
You're going to embrace it.
I am proud of every year I have sustained on this planet. Why would I not want to?
It's a triumph. It's saying, like, I made it. I'm vital. I had a great time.
Yeah,
I'm still here.
Two more years and I hit the big eight. I mean, that can't be all bad. There's got to be benefits. So, and I keep looking for the benefits. And, of course, a lot of it is wisdom. And the other thing is, I don't give a big rat's ass what people think anymore. Isn't that
You can just
freedom?
live your life.
Isn't that freedom? I don't care what you think. I don't care what they think. I'm only interested in what I think.